If covering your ears was applause, they loved us.
Yeah, I know that I'm sitting in front of four lawyers. I don't know what the fifth one does.
Well, one of us is a musician.
Yeah,
the rest of us are lawyers.
Welcome to the Peach Jam Podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm your host, Jeremy Powell, and I'm here to introduce you to songs and stories from a sampling of the truly diverse and incredibly talented musicians who call the Peach State home. You've got a front row seat for the intimate musical performances and free-flowing conversations recorded live in our GPB studios in Midtown Atlanta. On this episode, I'm joined by a group of attorneys with a rock and roll hobby. Let's talk to Bellwether Station.
I'm David.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Bobby.
I'm Chris.
I'm Chris Fox, and we're Bellwether Station.
Where are you from?
From here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're a rock and roll band.
You are a rock and roll band. We turned it up loud tonight. So the way we record this is the music is first, and then we sit down to do the interview, and we were jamming. It was awesome.
Thank you.
When and where did this start?
We started playing as a band in 2009, so we've been doing this a while.
But I think it started in a job interview.
Yeah. I'm a lawyer. Most of us are in this band are lawyers.
Yeah, I know that I'm sitting in front of four lawyers. I don't know what the fifth one does.
Well, one of us is a musician.
Yeah,
the rest of us are lawyers. And that used to be a fact that we hid because it was very not rock and roll to be a lawyer in a rock and roll band. And then you hit a certain age and suddenly it becomes rock and roll, I think, to be a lawyer in a rock and roll band because it comes out of the blue.
Yeah.
But I was interviewing Bobby for a summer job at the law firm where I was, and I had been out really late the night before. There had actually been an REM tribute show at the 40 Watt in Athens, but it turned out that REM actually showed up. All four of them showed up and played a couple songs in addition to the other people on the bill.
Wow.
Right, and so it was amazing, and it was absolutely worth showing up to work. Tired.
Yeah, no, that's a good word for it.
Tired.
Yeah.
And I interviewed Bobby the next morning, I think at 8 a.m.
And we talked about like the drive-by truckers and Athens and bands for like an hour. And they hired me.
Right, yeah. And so we hired Bobby, and then after he'd been at the firm a little while, Bobby and I got together and started playing some music. And gradually, all of us started playing music together.
Here it comes again. That same choking wind. It takes and it takes and it takes until there's nothing to give. And it calls our name, but it's a loud saying. If we don't leave, we'll just be what's left. There's one road out, it's open for us all night.
How did you meet everybody else?
Garner worked down the hall. He was there.
Yeah, I was in the same firm.
Okay.
And I knew these three through a mutual friend. And I think I was the last missing piece, right? You needed a drummer.
Needed a drummer.
And so once the four of us were there, we got rocking.
And then you decided, hey, maybe we should get a real musician to join in.
we recorded our most recent album at Chase Park Transduction in Athens, Georgia, with Ryan, making us sound better than we are.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, I'm an engineer and producer at Chase Park. That's like my full-time thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I just had an awesome time working on making this record with them. And so I bother them constantly to see when they're playing next and just keep showing up. And they haven't told me to stop.
So. I think this is awesome. So it's a band of lawyers who don't necessarily look like lawyers. Some of you do. And then,
guilty.
And then you found, the one that drove the Mercedes. And then you found an engineer, musician, and like, come on, we'll take care of you.
I believe
tell me about recording an album in Athens, Georgia.
The food is amazing. Plenty of good beverages. And Chase Park is kind of like our mecca. I mean, David Barbie runs it. Ryan is there. Probably 10 of my top 50 records have been made there of all time. I mean,
name them for me. Tell me some of them.
Dirty South by the Drive-By Truckers. Decoration Day by the Drive-By Truckers.
As far as Athens goes,
yeah.
I grew up in a really small town in Tennessee. Okay. That's where I'm from. I moved to Atlanta when I was 25, but mm-hmm. I grew up in rural West Tennessee. And REM, a lot of bands, frankly, but REM in particular was a window to a bigger and different and smarter and cooler world. And the notion that one day I'd get to grow up and make a record in that town where that came from. If you had told me that when I was 8, I would have thought you were lying. If you told me that when I was 15, I would have thought you were lying. I would have thought you were lying right up until I walked in the studio door. And so much amazing music came out of that town, and it was a privilege to try to add something to it.
If she wanted away from the wheel, she knew she'd have to climb. There were leaves on the dash and blood with the glass. The windshield knocked inside. She'd been drinking far too long, but not too long to not do the math. Just one long breath to the wrong Crown Vic would get her bail she didn't have. But the car wasn't hers, and no one saw, so she ran. But up the road was a bar with no windows, where she hadn't been seen in weeks. She hid her face in the hallway and came up clean from the sink. There was a man on a stool in a coat with no sleeves and a full drink in each hand. And he looked through the smoke and he parted with a spare if she would trade a dance. Sometimes you only get the one chance. The wrecker outside, she'd never see anything to get to sleep. Anything to get to sleep.
I mean, I think we've just gotten to play a lot of cool venues around town. Our first gig ever was at Smith's Old Bar in June of 2010.
How was your first gig at Smith's Old Bar? Is that some kind of lawyer magic?
We sent them an email, and we sent them a tape of our rehearsal.
Yeah.
We told a lot of lies in that email.
Is that it? Lawyer magic. Yeah.
A lot of puffery.
And so we got to play there. We've gotten to play Variety Playhouse.
I know for me, that was, we played a benefit show at Variety Playhouse pretty early on. Mm-hmm. And I have paid good money to see lots of bands at that venue yeah. mm-hmm. more times mm-hmm. than I can remember. And I remember playing on that stage was a pretty trippy moment for me. That was not something I thought I'd ever get to do. So that one stands out for sure. We've also played some interesting events, including parties for law firms where we weren't particularly well received.
That's true.
Yeah. Wait,
that's
true. Really? Like, is it supposed to be like a cool
We won't say who,
back?
But yeah, we did. We played a law firm. That if covering your ears was applause, they loved us. And there's like, there's some really good photos of us playing, and like the closest person to the stage is like 100 feet.
Like we're here, and everyone's way.
We were a nuisance, is what we were. We also played at the Hard Rock downtown when the water went off.
Yeah,
and we just thought, well, if we keep playing, then maybe nobody will come up here and make us stop.
We actually, we were playing when all the water in the city of Atlanta was shut off, and police officers entered the Hard Rock Cafe to shut down the show. And when they walked in the room, we started covering Purple Rain by Prince. And one of the police officers just went, wait. And they let us finish.
And then they shut the show down. Yeah, yeah. We played a full-on, 7-minute Purple Rain, which I wish somebody had videoed that because it was amazing.
There's no record of it, which is why I will say it was fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
It felt fantastic. And then after we finished there, the police were like, okay, you guys got to get out of here.
I love that that's some officer's favorite song. And he was like, hold on a minute, I want to hear this.
Yeah, I want to see where this is going.
Yes.
It was great.
Oh, I do.
A friend once asked me if we would play his wedding. And I had to explain that I thought that was a terrible idea, and eventually got him to relent. So there's some gigs that we avoided also.
We have turned some things down.
I think we're good.
To address the fact that there's somebody here not wearing shoes. Why?
Well, I'm not this second because my shoes are in the hallway and I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the room. But when we were playing, I wasn't wearing shoes. I haven't worn shoes while playing music since I was probably 15 or 16 years old.
Why?
He idolizes Jimmy Buffett.
No, I do not. I mean, he's a nice guy. But
he's dead. For
me, I just like...
That's why we have him in the front row.
I like being able to feel the ground when I sing. I don't know. Like, I kind of push my feet into the floor, and there's something about the direct contact. I mean, I did it. Every band I've ever played in, I played without shoes on. When I was probably starting about middle school, if I sang something in church, I didn't wear shoes with that either. It just sort of became how I felt most comfortable singing, and it seems like it gets more positive feedback than negative feedback. So.
Bellwether Station is from Atlanta, but you guys live kind of all over. So let's go down the line and find out where everybody lives. We'll start with Chris over here.
So I live in the Morningside area of Atlanta, so I'm pretty close to where we are now, and actually right down the street from
We live a mile apart. So we're both in the Morningside, Virginia Highland neighborhood. So not quite as exotic, but in town Atlanta.
Sure.
Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
So I live right in between Monroe and Winder. I like they said, I work at a studio in Athens, which my drive to work, like the first half of it is just farmland, past a couple emus, you know, all kinds of, it's just a really serene way to get ready for a day in the recording studio.
And I also live out in the country. I'm in a little town called Yorkville, which is unincorporated Paulding County, but it's a Rock Mart address, so.
See, that's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for him to tell me that he lives in Rock Mart because I grew up in Rome, and I just want to say that the pizza farm is amazing.
The pizza farm is unreal.
If you've never been to Rock Mart, Georgia, and never been to the pizza farm, do it now. Go now. I don't care what time it is. Go. Like, you need to be at the pizza farm. It is incredible. They have amazing steaks.
Yeah, don't let the name fool you. The steaks are the feature there.
Yeah. I mean, the pizza's good.
Yeah.
Ham and cheese salad, can't beat that. But the steaks, sorry.
Do they have live music at the pizza farm?
No, they do not.
No. They got a lot of seating, though.
Pizza farm, also a good band name.
That is a good band name.
Keep that in your back pocket. Yeah,
pizza farm. Side project.
Yeah. It's not as good as Thank You, Dr. Sugar, but it's pretty good band name.
Yeah.
Where does Bellwether Station come from?
We were looking for words that conjured the notion of a place, but wasn't necessarily something specific, a specific place. Where I grew up was referred to as a bellwether county. It had correctly chosen who was elected president of the United States in every election since the 1860s. So if the county I grew up in had gone red, then a Republican was going to get elected president. If it had gone blue, a Democrat was going to get elected president. And that is the way it went for about 140 years. There were six or seven counties in America that had done that. And so it was called a bellwether county, which I thought was a cool word from the time I was a kid. I guess it's not, but it always seemed like a distinctly Southern word to me. And so when trying to name a band and trying to name it something that wasn't immediately specific and wasn't immediately on the nose, something more of just an ethereal conjuring of a sense of place, but not a specific place, pairing the words bellwether and station together, it felt right, and in its own way, it sounded like the band sounded. And so I would love to tell you a more specific origin story, but it was very much just the tonal quality of the words and that it seemed to fit.
Can I just say, as someone who works with a lot of bands with a lot of names, that is one of the most lawyerly explanations for how that name came to be.
I'm so glad you
said
that.
Well, it has to do with the politics, and it goes back to the 1860s. And
yeah. I am so glad you said that, because I'm like, this is where the lawyers coming out. Like, this is, it's like, this is where all that schooling is.
Right.
Where'd the name come from? I made it up.
Yeah.
But you said
it was the least
so
stupid thing I thought of.
Yes.
Right. If you want to just cut and edit, we can say that the bellwether station in any given market is the one that everyone listens to. And,
well, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Is that what
or we can just go to, I just made it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. 8 years old, late summer night, speaker in a window, sweet child of mine, where do we go? No one.
I'm David Zelsky, the host of A Fork in the Road on GPB. If you like hearing the stories from musicians and artists on the musical side of the state here on Peach Jam, I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing from the farmers, chefs, artisans, makers and bakers who power Georgia's agricultural economy. Join me on the Fork in the Road podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
What else do you want to do with the band?
Play some more shows. Hopefully write some more songs. Play some more cool places, and hopefully more people will hear us, and we'll get to do more of that.
I think one interesting thing is that this band has never had a plan. We were the first time we played, you know, a gig, we were astonished that Smith's Old Bar would let us come play a show there. And when we decided to record an album, we were amazed to find a place that we could do that. And when we finished the first album, I don't think we ever thought we'd make a second one. And so everything that's happened to this band has happened fairly organically. And I think the spirit of it is that none of us have any expectation of what happens in the future. But whatever it is, it will probably be pretty cool if history is any guide. So we just kind of keep investing in it, and interesting things tend to happen.
It's a lot of fun to work in the studio with people who are doing it because they want to do it. Just not like, obviously everyone would be very happy if they worked on music that made them money, but I don't know, there's something, the more that people come into a studio with just the mindset of the main thing I'm here to do is make something that I care about. I don't really care what anyone else thinks or what my bank account thinks. I don't know, that's the most meaningful stuff I've worked on has been people of, you know, of all kind of levels that have done that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to recording some more of y'all songs that you care about.
And for me, we've always had a chemistry between the four of us that, I mean, it's hard to describe. Bobby and I have played in other bands. I know Fox has played in other bands. You know, when we do stuff, for the most part, it just works. And we're able to get together and just really enjoy what we do because there's not a lot of back and forth, people tugging at each other or pushing each other. And, you know, when we went to the studio this last time, Ryan kind of fell right into that. I mean, he was very much able to kind of get where we were going. And so when you play with people that kind of get what you're trying to do and, you know, you're not stepping on toes, it's just so much more fun. So, you know, whatever we do, I think is going to click just because this band has always clicked.
Would you let your kids be musicians?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if they wanted to, for sure.
In a lot of cases, they already are. My daughter recently got a guitar, and she's very into Taylor Swift at the moment, and is, you know, writing her own songs and doing stuff like this. And I think, at least in part, that's because it's normalized in our house. Like, the idea that you could write songs and be in a band is completely normal to her. And yeah, you know, who knows what she'll do with it? But it shouldn't be surprising to any of us. I think that any of our kids were. Soon to be children will be interested in music.
Yeah, my oldest plays guitar, my youngest plays piano and ukulele, and all of them love music. My middle one's into some of the same music I am, and even before my time, she listens to the Beatles a lot. And but my oldest wants to be a pediatric neuropsychologist, so I would think being a musician would be a lot cheaper path for her. So I would certainly encourage her to pursue that if she wished to. But I think just them having the love of music. I mean, if they want to do it professionally, that's great. But I almost appreciate the fact that I don't have to make a living doing this because I can love it without having the pressure of having to make it a job.
Thanks for listening to the Peach Jam Podcast. You can find the complete musical performances from Bellwether Station on the GPB YouTube page. And please take a moment to leave a rating and review. That really does help us out. On the next episode, I'll be joined by the personification of determination and perseverance.
I found myself homeless after my dad passed away, living in my dad's 95 Honda Civic.
Daniquia is on the next episode of the Peach Jam Podcast. The Peach Jam Podcast is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jeremy Powell. Sandy Malcolm is our executive producer. Sound engineering and recording was provided by Sounds Good. Mixing and mastering by David Spence and Victoria Evans Cash. Find us on Instagram at Peach Jam Podcast. And look for Peach Jam on TV wherever you watch Georgia Public Broadcasting. In the meantime, please support live local music and independent record stores in your area.